Hi, my name is Sandy Kozlowski with Building Blocks of Recovery, and this is Building Blocks of Recovery Radio. You know, you've spent the time to be in recovery, we've spent the time to do all of the right things, and yet sometimes joy still eludes us. This radio show and this book are all about how we can share our experience, strength, and hope on how to find joy and what being in long-term recovery is and why it can be such a struggle. I'm grateful that you're here, and I'm looking forward to hearing how I can be of service to you and your recovery, and thank you for being a part of mine.
Hi, hello, and good afternoon. This is Sandy with Building Blocks of Recovery Radio on Blog Talk Radio. If you're following me on video, you see that I have a big sweater on. I've actually been quite ill today. But I have to tell you that getting the opportunity to share and to talk about recovery was worth me almost putting on my warmest, yummiest, almost bathrobe and sitting before you and talking to you. This week, we're going to talk about all things heart chakra. And one of the warnings that I gave you last week is the heart chakra is really a delicate area to be talking about. Many people have a lot of reaction about talking about the heart chakra. But first, I stumbled on a couple of things today. One of them was the Academy Awards and some information from there, and believe it or not, and a TED Talk that I stumbled on just before we came on the air. So what I want to do is I want to share that with you, tell you what I'm thinking about, and then we'll go from there today, okay? Are you ready? This is Graham Moore's, I hope you can hear it, very inspiring speech. I just loved that. How great. Stay weird. Stay different. Stay exactly who you are. Pass the message on to the next person. Part of the reason that I do Building Blocks of Recovery is actually going to fall right into the next person we're going to talk about, is because if we feel like we're alone, if we feel like we're alone in our recovery from addiction, if we feel like we're alone in our recovery from grief, if we feel like we're alone in our recovery from overeating, if there's no one that we can go to and say, this is my experience, what do you think? Then all of a sudden, we feel hopeless. If you're in that place today, I want you to know you're not alone. Where I can't be there with you, I want you to know I am just an email away. The other thing, though, is I promise you there are mental health clinics, and there are also chemical dependency counselors and also a support group in your area for whatever it is you're dealing with. It's just having that moment of belief. Belief that your life can truly be different. Belief that you have something to offer that the whole world needs to hear. You know, back when I first started in recovery and even back when in some of my very darkest days, I remember thinking, you know, if this is going to be worth it, if my suffering and my trauma it's going to be worth it for another person, then I will make it another day. And not that I'm saying that you need to go through trauma to help people, but it definitely has given validity to the things I went through. And it makes my nightmares go away. I think that's the best way. Not only does it give me a reason to heal and keep on a healing path, but it also gives me the opportunity and the chance to help other people. And when they share their stories with me, oftentimes I will just nod, and they understand the nod. Like, it's funny because the people that I work with and have worked with for a few years now, it's so funny because they do the nod, and they're like, wait a minute, you know my stuff. Wait a minute, you understand my story. How is that? If you don't have somebody that understands your story right now, it's okay. Those people can be exactly who they are. Please, 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 hang on and go find somebody who will understand your story because you have a story to tell. The other thing I wanted to talk about kind of flies right into that is there was just a TED Talk on And Dr. Nadine Burke-Harris talked about childhood trauma. And she was talking about, kind of funny how life all goes around, but she was talking about that childhood trauma adverse childhood experiences actually does, and then we're going to talk about why building blocks of recovery is so important, or putting a system, you know, even if you don't want to buy my book, I mean, I'm okay with that. Because I want you, what I want you to do, I'm not really, you know, I want you to build a system of recovery for yourself, and here's why. So, to make it simple, and I'm grateful to be one of the people on the forefront of this movement, to keep it really simple, the brain is, and please know I'm saying simple for a reason, the brain is a bioelectrical, biochemical machine, right? It's just a computer. So what you put in, you get out kind of thing. Now I know there's a spirit and there's a whole lot of other stuff to it, and I get that, and I believe that also. But for the sake of this conversation, the brain is a biochemical, bioelectrical machine. And what you put in makes it work. Just like if I, in my computer, if I put in, if I decided I didn't want Windows 8 anymore and I went back to XP, then I would completely redo how my computer works, right? Okay. So what she's saying, what Dr. Burke-Harris is saying, is that adverse childhood experiences actually rewire the brain. They actually rewire hormonal balances. They actually rewire the immune system. I was, you know, I've tried talking to people about some stuff that happened to me in the past, and they're like, oh, just get over it. Like, it was a long time ago. And I used to buy that, and, well, quite frankly, it was pretty miserable for a long time because I kept buying that. And so what ended up happening is that I got more and more self-destructive. Now, to be fair, it wasn't their fault I got more and more self-destructive, but I just didn't understand. It felt like I kept needing to run faster than I was able to just look normal. Well, and so what we understand now is that my brain is rewired. My body is rewired. I have fibromyalgia. It makes sense that I have fibromyalgia. I have a bad stomach. Of course I do. And so before I used to feel like, well, you have fibromyalgia because you're a faker. I don't know. I hope this resonates with someone. You know, you have fibromyalgia because you're a faker, because you want attention all the time. And it's not all about you, Sandy. I'm so tired of hearing that. And so two things happen at the same time. My dog's making noise and my son is calling me. I'm obviously not going to take my son's call, but I will call him back later. Anyway, you know, like, get over your fibro or get over the pain or whatever and stop whining about it. Well, you know, for goodness sake, if it were that easy, I would have done it a long time ago. But it's not that easy. And so I had a lot of guilt and shame. You know, first I have this adverse childhood experience, and then I have this body reaction to that adverse childhood experience that I will have for a long time and have had for a long time. And then I have people dumping guilt and shame on top of me about that. Not helpful, folks. Not helpful at all. Do you remember how we started this call, this show today? If you need to find people who support you, you can go look for them. They will be there, I promise you. You got to find them, though. I can't keep going back to the people who tell me that I'm faking or trying to gain attention. They've already made up their minds, and they're while they may love me, they're not being supportive in this area of my life. So I have to go find people who are supportive of this area of my life. So then, you know, as I started to study more and more, I realized my body is different. These adverse childhood experiences that I've had have rewired me, have made me different. Being an alcoholic and a drug addict has made me different, has rewired my brain. Having a traumatic brain injury has made me different, has rewired my brain. And I don't say that to excuse anything. So I don't say that like, well, if you had a brain injury like I did, you'd be an alcoholic too. Like, I'm not saying that. I've said that for a long time. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, to be a woman who's healthy and in recovery, I need to take the whole picture that I am and put it together in a way that makes sense, that propels my life forward. So, for example, one of the things that I've realized is that I can't handle people jumping out at me. Like, you know how people think it's hysterically funny to hide behind something and then when you go walking by, they jump out at you? Well, you know what's great is that my kids can handle that. So we've done a little bit of that. They know that I can't handle that. And when I say a little bit, I mean because I understand the trauma of that, the potential trauma of that is more joke and less, you know, very gentle, maybe 5 times in their life. And I have adult kids, so. But I can't handle people who jump out at me or who people who like to come up and do that, like, touch you when you don't know they're there. I can't handle that. Like, there's no way I can handle it. Like, I cannot put it in a healthy place in my mind. So I don't hang around those people. You see what I mean? Like, I have stopped. And I don't feel the need today to subject myself to, like, haunted houses and fun houses where people jump out at me. I don't feel the need to do that today. But I don't feel sad about it either because I have not taken things out of my life and not put anything there. So I have so much in my life that I don't miss those things I can do. What Nadine Burke Harris, Dr. Nadine Burke Harris was talking about in a TED.com, Dr. Nadine Burke Harris. And she was talking about how important it is that if there has been what's called an ACEs score, so they give you a test about adverse childhood experiences and then they know how to do some treatment planning. What we found is really interesting is that when we, and I've worked with the system actually when I first was in college on clients, when a client has a high ACEs score, adverse childhood experiences score, what ends up happening is that we treatment plan that differently. So then we begin to take in the mind, the body, the spirit, and so we take all of those pieces in. What Building Blocks of Recovery does is, well, let me say it this way. Part of how I started on this path and started studying all this is because I needed to find a system. So I went to 12-step recovery, and that helped me a ton get sober. And that helped me a ton change a lot about me because, trust me, there's a lot to change. People look at me even today and say, we didn't think you were going to make it. So I got to tell you, sometimes that warms my heart. Sometimes it's like, oh, gosh, thanks, guys, right? So anyway, so I'm not saying that that didn't help, but then I realized that I was sober. I was, I was starting to get my life back, and yet big pieces of my life were still broken, and I needed to do something else. And so that's how I stumbled on absolutely all of the tools that I share with you. In Building Blocks of Recovery, I stumbled on the tools of how when someone jumps out at me at work or I'm in the supermarket and somebody pops around the corner and I'm not realizing that they're going to be there, what is my next response that I can do to create a healthy response that does not victimize me, that does not victimize the person, that puts us all together, right? So that's why we do things like ask the questions, we acknowledge exactly where we are and why we're there, and then how do we supplement the body? How do we supplement the spirit? How do we supplement the heart? How do we supplement the mind? How do we build around ourselves that strength so that then we can overcome and continue on to the lives. You know, onto the life we're meant to live. You know, I have to tell you that. Oh, I don't know why that just popped in my ear. I have to tell you, the life that I live today is full of support. And then once I support myself and stop apologizing for who I am, pretty soon other people who work that way come into my life, and they're wrapped in their bubble of how they work. And then we grow stronger and we build together. So, I'm sorry, I know what I was going to say. So there's a goal to this, right? And the goal is that we're going to keep building ourselves to the level of transcendence. So if you're looking at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which is within my book, Maslow's hierarchy of needs is walking toward transcendence, where we actually are more spiritual beings. I know that yoga is a spiritual practice for me. I have a church group that is a spiritual practice for me. But also, I like that food can be a spiritual practice for me. I like that my relationships and my thought and my friends have intention and are a spiritual practice for me. So, talked about a lot, but when there's a lot in the news, it's simply amazing. It's simply amazing. It's almost like we're waking up. It's almost like we're waking up and saying, wait a minute, you can't just segment me off like, okay, so I'm going to help you deal with your addiction, but oh, your mental health stuff I can't talk to you about, or oh, well, you know what, just stop drinking because you need to deal with your mental health stuff, and or you know what, if you don't want to overeat, then don't, then follow a healthy diet, then oh my gosh, right? If it were, we all would have done it a long time ago. But I love how it takes the whole person. You know, many, many years ago, the way the counseling model used to work, I'm sorry, we will get to a little bit of heart chakra, I promise. The way the counseling model used to work is they'd come in and, you know, they talk about what happened when you were 2 and when you were 4 and all of that stuff, right? And then you'd walk out, but you still didn't know, like, how am I going to pay my grocery bill or, you know, what else is going to happen. The counseling model now is, I think, thanks to life coaching, actually, the counseling model now takes the whole you are today, finds out what patterns might be interrupting you from the past, puts it all together, and helps you be a better you today. I really, really like where the counseling model is going. I really, really like that chemical dependency and mental health are working together more and more, and that the government and insurance companies are finally seeing that if they support the whole person, then the whole person, you know, at the end of the day, uses those services, uses those dollars. I don't know about you, but when I was my sickest, that seems like I was in the ER all of the time. And since I got better, since I got, I don't know if I'd say well. When I hear get well, it reminds me of my heroin clients, and so I kind of shy away from saying get well. But as I've gotten better, I realize I don't see a doctor as frequently because I'm taking care of myself as a whole 360 person. So my body is not always demanding all of my time and attention because I've noticed, okay, so that's the thing that's popping up today, let's work on it. And then that's the thing that's popping up today, let's work on it, right? Okay. So week 4, we've been doing this for a little while. We're going to talk about the heart chakra. I'm going to get started on it, but we're going to finish it next week. And remember what I told you last week. And by the way, last week's episode is uploaded. What ended up happening is that the mic was set wrong. And so when I went back and I listened to the show, it just sounded horrible. So I took it down, I re-recorded it, and I put it back up. So if you're one of the many people that are archiving these episodes, you can go back and you can get the episode now. It's there for you, okay? So what we were talking about last week with the heart is that this is really deep work, and I've seen a lot of people kind of crash when we start talking about the heart. I don't know quite all of the reasons why, I know that root chakra can be pretty destabilizing, but the next one always seems to be the heart. So this is what I want you to promise me. We're going to talk about a pose. I'm going to read the questions. We're going to talk a little bit more, and then we'll talk about the pose again, okay? A pose that I found that's beautifully meditative, and if you are dealing with grief, is to lay down with your legs either up on a chair, so legs up and then knees bent, legs up on a chair, and your arms out to the side. So even with the shoulders out to the side. And just open that chest and breathe. That's it, actually. I kind of like the 4-8 breath, you know, breathe in, 1, 2, 3, 4, a lot slower than that. And then hold, exhale to 8, hold, inhale to 4, and keep going on that cycle. Because what happens, when we're in grief, when we are in grief of any kind, we'll just call it grief of any kind, what do we end up doing? Figure out your body posture, okay? What we tend to do, remember I was a massage therapist for 12 years, so I saw this constantly, is people actually fold in on themselves. You know, head comes down, shoulders come forward, can get even a bend in the neck, right? Because they're sad. They probably aren't even breathing deep. So when we lay down on our back, supported by the floor, like we'd like our loved ones to support us, have the head back, arms out to the side, chest open and vulnerable, abdominals open and vulnerable. I like to do this one initially by myself, actually, because typically when I just open the chest and take those nice deep breaths in for a 4 count, hold, exhale for an 8 count, hold, the rush of emotion that comes, for me anyway, is huge. And so what I like to do is I like to just stick with the breath until I've cried it all out. I don't, you know, roll back into that ball. And I open up. Now, if you're in counseling of any kind, or if the thought of doing this exercise is a little intense for you, I want you to make sure that you're hooked in with a mental health practitioner. Because it is a really intense exercise, believe it or not. It doesn't sound intense, and yet it totally will not wipe you out, but it'll totally kind of get to where you hurt. And when we get to where we hurt, that's actually where the healing begins. It's when we won't talk about the hurt, the healing stays stuck. However, we need to learn the skills, and this is why I keep saying this to you, we need to learn the skills of being able to put a cap on it. So when I'm doing this exercise, for example, when I went through my divorce, I did this exercise with it, and I only allowed the things about my divorce to come up and be processed. So I did not process everything at the same time. That's too much stuff that'll blow your chest out, okay? So we're going to process one thing at a time. By the way, let's talk about this. I don't know if we're going to get to our chakra today. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about a yoga class, okay? I'm kind of considering offering yoga online. I don't know about that yet, and the reason I don't know about that yet is I really want people to be at a studio. Really need the ambiance of the studio, really need to have the teacher looking at you. And when I teach, anyway, I'm looking at the person who's moving their body in a meaningful way, and I notice their holding patterns. I notice the holding patterns from injuries, but I also notice the emotional holding patterns and get them to come back, too. Really important to do yoga, especially during grief. And the reason I think that it's so important is, as Mickey Myers from Y12SR Recovery Yoga says, the issues live in our tissues. So if we're stuffing and not moving and just staying home and crying, the issues will get stuck in our tissues. If we move through, then what's going to happen is then we process the grief. grief. I did not say it goes away. I did say we process through the grief, right? I hope that makes sense. So then we're going to process through the grief. We're going to move through it. I want you to please go to a loving and supportive yoga studio who will help you to allow you to sit at the back of the class and cry as hard as you need to. Whether you need to work with an individual yoga therapist, that's cool. Within a small yoga community, that's cool too. But somehow get the issues that live in your tissues to move out and through. Hope that makes a lot of sense for you. We don't have very much time left, and I said we were going to work on the heart chakra. So this is the thing I want you to do. I think we're going to do things a little differently because we had so much prep work to do talking about the heart chakra. I want you to just start prepping yourself for next week. By the way, my book, Building Blocks of Recovery, is on Amazon.com. However, I'm working on the second edition. So if you get the first edition of the book, that's cool, but I will then make sure you get the second edition, okay? Because there's some new information I want to add that I haven't put in there. So super excited about that. So this week, you're going to surround yourself with the colors pink and green. How great. It's almost spring. Sorry for my friends on the East Coast that you're, you know, up here in snow. Trust me, spring's coming. In Western Washington, spring is here, and it is lovely, I will tell you. So pink and green are your colors this week. Your affirmations this week, let's start with that. Your affirmations are, I love who I am. I should throw in the, I like who I am when I'm with you. I love who I am, and I like who I am when I'm with you. I feel accepted, and I know how to act and react in every situation. I am open to loving and mutually respectful relationships. My heart is filled with love for all around me. I can take time to find out who people are without making assumptions about them. So you may have to rewind if you're archiving this. The last one to me is one of the most important. We're going to talk about that for a second. It says 90 seconds in my ear. It really scares me. The phrase, I believe who people are the first time they tell me. So, but I don't have to change them. So when somebody tells me the first time that they're bitchy, that they're nasty, that they have a bad temper. They always chuckle, too. I have such a bad temper. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Right? I don't know why they do that. That is a person that we don't have to change, but we can decide how we initiate with them, how we continue on in a relationship with them. And I believe who people are the first time they tell me. Guys, it's taken me years to get to that. So I take the time to find out who people are without making assumptions about them. Okay, they are who they are. You are who you are, and you don't have to change anymore to make people fit into your life. Your people are coming. The people who want to love you are on their way. You keep doing what you need to do for you. Do the stretch, pink and green, affirmations. We'll do more about heart chakra next week. My name is Sandy Kozlowski with Building Blocks of Recovery. I'll see you at 3:30 next Monday on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much and have a good day.